The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. We're back. Alan Ellis here with Robin, and we're just kind of hanging out here this morning. We have our guest this morning with us is Dr. Joseph W. Love, Ph.D. He's with the Fishing and Boating Services, Department of Natural Resources, and he runs the Maryland Black Bass Program. Did I say that correctly, Dr. Joe?
Yes, sir. You said that perfectly.
Very good.
How are you doing?
Oh, good, good. I mean, we've had this discussion before. Do I call you Dr. Joe, or my favorite, Dr. Love? Which one do you prefer?
You tell me whichever you like.
All right.
It might be more appropriate. Joe would be better.
All right, let's go, Joe.
Dr. Love might rise from that. Maybe.
A little music from the 70s era.
Yeah, right.
We'll get Chris to bring some of that up. He has that on his own personal iPad, all that. Anyway, iPod. Anyway, black bass. Both largemouth and smallmouth are considered black bass, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir. Those are the only two true bass that we have in the state of Maryland.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, listen, at one point, legally, back in the, 1920s, almost a century ago, the commercial fishing for black bass was an active fishery, correct?
Yes, sir, it was. Through the 50s, in the Upper Bay, quite a few were taken into the commercial market, and the price was actually on par with what people were getting for striped bass.
Right, exactly.
So it was a pretty accurate, pretty active fishery.
Yeah. Now, early on, the story I got is a conservationist who was actually on the show years ago, a fellow by the name of Frank Burt Smoot, an artist, one of the, I think, founding members of the Order of the Jungle Cock there in Thurmont. And a conservationist gathered together a gang of lawmakers from Western Maryland who didn't care about the commercial fishery bass fishing, and actually enacted legislation to ban that practice.
Well, that could very well be. I'm not exactly sure who put forth that legislative effort or inspired that, but you're absolutely correct.
Yep.
What I read, that's what happened. They officially made it illegal to sell largemouth bass in grocery stores, and the only way you can catch them now in Maryland legally is using a hook and line.
Exactly. Now, there was a very famous poaching case here a few years back where black bass were being caught in the Potomac and held in ponds in southern Maryland and then being sold out, captured out of the ponds and being sold out of state. And people did some serious fines, and I don't know if there's any jail time or not, but if somebody wants to take a look at that, I'm sure they can find that online as well. And that was a violation of the Lacey Act and some other federal crimes that were committed during that, and that wasn't all that long ago, correct?
That's correct. I believe it was a couple decades ago. We're not talking too terribly long.
Nope.
And they caught the bass illegally. or using illegal gear, stored them, and then tried to sell them to Canada.
Okay, well, you know, the Lacey Act simply says if you have taken any species of fish or game illegally and attempt to transport it across a state line or a national border, you are guilty of the Lacey Act. And
And there's a hefty fine.
Federal fine.
Not only would they be in violation of Maryland law, but the federal law, that Lacey Act violation comes with it with a whopping fine. So if people are found guilty of that, then it's got a lot more teeth than the fines.
And potential jail time as well. I think maybe somebody did go to jail on that. So
I believe you're right.
All about black bass. So if anybody wants to look up the bass poaching case in Maryland and Lacey Act, and you know they can find it pretty easily. So some of those folks are actually still around.
They're still around.
Yep.
I imagine they've learned from that. I like to think people are still capable of doing that even at my age.
So. Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. Anybody can be regretful and reformed. That's for sure.
That's right. So. That's right. And luckily, we haven't seen something of that magnitude since then. And people are still talking about the story, which I think is good because it's a helpful reminder of what should not be done and what the consequences are if it happens.
So where do you want to start? We have several famous bass fisheries here in Maryland. One is the Upper Bay on the flats, of course, the Susquehanna River, and that area. We also have the Potomac River, which is kind of declined from its heyday back in the 80s and 90s to some degree. But we've still got plenty of good bass fishing down there. We've got the advent of the snakehead, not necessarily blaming the snakehead for the decline. Some other issues are there. And then we've got some of the tidal rivers on the eastern shore. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to bounce the ball to you. It's in your court. You start wherever you want.
Well, I'll pick with that Potomac because I know that that's gotten some people concerned over the past 5 or 10 years. There was a downtick in catch rates, and that happened for a few years. Part of it was owed to just poor reproduction on the river, and there were some other issues, too, that people were pointing to. The good news is that apparently in the past couple of years, people have been catching bass more frequently. More people are talking about how good bass fishing is. I've heard bass guides talk about how the river's never fished better. So I think we're in a much better place on the Potomac this year and last than we have been. So
good.
That's the good news.
How's my buddy Steve Chaconis doing?
He's good. You know, he's a member of our Black Bass Advisory Subcommittee.
Yep.
And he's a very vocal member, and I like that. I like people who express their opinion.
Yep.
And he's been good. I think he's been concerned lately with some illegal guiding cases.
Okay.
On the Potomac.
Didn't know that, but okay.
Yeah. And come this October, with our next Black Bass Advisory Subcommittee meeting, we'll have Natural Resources Police there to discuss some enforcement concerns that some folks like Steve Chaconis have voiced.
Good. I'm glad to hear that somebody's taken the focus off of oysters, rockfish, and crabs. Just saying.
Well, those are important.
Oh, I know they're important, but, you know, there's other species out there that need protection, and including land-based critters, too, including whitetail and sika deer. But that's, you know, that's a case for another time. But
yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And, you know, enforcement is kind of, my understanding, you know, spread thin. They're losing people to retirement, but I think that they've got money in the vault to try and hire more people.
They have.
So, you know, I'm hopeful that things will, you know, not be so thin as they are now in the future. But right now, I know it's kind of tough to do everything.
I don't know if you've read any of their own internal reports. I think they had one come out in December of 16, if I recall the date. It's right around that same time. And they're basically saying we're 75 officers short.
Yeah. You know?
And that's, but.
It's tragic. I mean, it's tragic because, you know, we're here to talk about natural resources. We're here to put forward, you know, regulations that we think will help protect species. And it's, you know, it's tough. We need that enforcement because if we don't have the enforcement,
look,
you know, the regulations are really just guidelines at that point.
I've always said that Maryland has been one of the leaders in the country as far as its biological science-based management, and the effort that the biologists put forth in managing our fish and wildlife resources here in Maryland is spectacular, and in my estimation, you know, second to none in the country. And you know, the conservation ethic here is fabulous, especially on species like striped bass and black bass and others. But when you have those regulations, you've got to have enough people to be able to enforce the law, which, you know, leads to the promulgation of the regulations and so forth, to be able to, you know, to be able to maintain that, you know?
That's right. And we do have a responsibility to the Chesapeake Bay. We've got a lot of great fisheries here.
Yes.
And I imagine it's very tough to, you know, keep people honest. Luckily, we have a lot of honest people in Maryland, and I mean, I see people who care about black bass every day at the tournaments or at
sure.
committee meetings or just on the phone, and they care about keeping them alive, wanting to do the right thing by them, and I'm really happy to see that. You know, but then I hear the problems with perhaps illegal guiding or illegal poaching, and I think, well, we need to have enforcement there
exactly.
to address those issues, because there's no amount of my conversation that's going to change their minds.
That's basically. True. That's true. And, you know, I mean, and that's part of the equation. And, you know, you're not here to speak to that part of it, and I don't want you getting any jeopardy over that. But, you know, it is the truth that, as you said, the natural resources police forces are stretched thin. I mean, they barely kept their helicopter due to budget cuts in this session. So, I mean, they barely kept it. So I see it's back in service now and everything's good. But apparently they found some special funding to keep the helicopter.
And maybe as we move forward, I think, if I recall correctly, in our natural resources police here, looking out for some more creative solutions, getting the public more informed in how to report the mm-hmm. types of illegal cases that they see on the water back to NRP. You know, if we can kind of mobilize our citizens here in Maryland a little bit more effectively, maybe that'll lessen the burden on some of our NRP officers and maybe kind of make them more efficient.
Well, the catch a poacher. Yeah, the catch a poacher program right now is weak. The reward program is non-existent, and I know they're working on that to help involve more citizens on that. I'm not sure of all the details, but our hunting summit from the Maryland Hunting Coalition is coming up here on the 23rd of this month. So hopefully we'll be the news kind of broke in that a year ago, and so we're hoping to hear an update on that that enforcement piece. So that's good.
Excellent.
Yep. Anyway, Potomac.
So anyway, back to Potomac.
Yeah.
it's much better now, I think, and we've had better reproduction on there. The grasses are thicker.
Good.
Some people are even complaining.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah. It's a good thing. It's Mother Nature, and I'm glad to see, you know, that we've got some really good habitat out there and some good fishing conditions.
Yep.
You know, I don't mean to say that everything is hunky-dory.
Right.
You know, we're trying to be vigilant in our efforts in mm-hmm. species management, encouraging anglers to adopt best management practices, these types of things. But, you know, I think on the Potomac, things have kind of turned a corner, and I'm happy to see that. And that's not just our agency. I think, you know, the folks from Virginia and D.C. have
sure.
also expressed, you know, early that the fisheries are looking a little better.
Good.
You know, Virginia didn't really see too many problems in some of their streams, but they have, you know, expressed some happiness that the river seems to be fishing better for everyone.
Good.
It's really good.
Good. Yeah. All right, so my answer to somebody who complains about heavy grass on as far as bass fishing cover is concerned,
mm-hmm.
learn to fish a scum frog.
I like that.
There you go.
Yeah,
hey,
you're right.
You know, have one in your pocket. Here, learn how to fish this, you know?
You're right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the best things about the Chesapeake Bay and some of our tidal fresh areas is that there's a lot of very different habitats, and that just means there are a lot of different challenges.
Yeah.
You know, these anglers, they can't just fish one style, one way. We've got a tide. We've got different types of grass, well, different kinds of woody debris. We've got different structure, different depth.
Yep.
All that requires an arsenal and a tackle box.
Exactly. Learn from the pros who fish tidal situations all the time and you know, how to fish low tide, high tide, how to fish grass, how to fish drop-offs, how to fish deep, you know, deep water adjacent to weed beds and that type of thing. And, you know, if you become more knowledgeable, you always become a better fisherman with more knowledge.
That's absolutely right. I mean, I've liked talking to bass guides because they have a lot of knowledge on how to fish different areas. Not only do they have that, they also have good knowledge of the types of areas, the history of areas, which is really wonderful to learn about. And then, of course, I read a lot.
Sure.
Like Mike Iaconelli has got a lot to say on tidal fishing.
Sure.
And so I try and learn more about what they're doing. And hopefully that makes me less embarrassed at the end of the fishing day.
Mike Iaconelli. Just don't get the guy annoyed, and you'll be fine.
Yeah. I think I've gotten him annoyed before. I think I've failed that ship.
All right. Hey, we're going to take...
It's okay. I think things are better now.
That's good. We're going to take our first little break here, and Dr. Love, we will be back to you here shortly talking more about Maryland black bass fishing here. So it's time for me to tell our listeners about Clyde Sport Shop. They're located 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. That's just off Beltway exit number 9. Hunting season's here, folks. They've got those great Coda bows. They've even got the new Bear crossbow. You want to check those out. That's a brand new offering from the folks at Bear Archery, and you will enjoy seeing and shooting one of these bows. Now, Clyde's does do all your custom arrow work. It's time to get your guns in to get them clean, repaired, get a new scope, a new optics on it if you want. They'll mount the scope. They'll bore sight it for you, get you shooting on paper at least. They have the full selection of Browning firearms for not only shooting sports, you know, like the Satori and that type of thing, but they also have the waterfowl guns, too. They have the brand-new A5, and you ought to see this thing with a Cerakote. It's called Wild Wings. Very limited supply, but check it out at Clyde Sports Shop. The regular A5 is available in all types of camo, the BPS pump shotgun if you like to go pump, and then there's you know, the Maxis, of course. So Clyde's is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just up Beltway exit number 9. Phone number 410-242-6108, 242-6108. Again, that's Clyde's Sports Shop, and that's their website, 2S's in the middle. Now, head across the Bay Bridge to the Eastern Shore, and you'll find Chesapeake Outdoors, right there at exit 39B. That's Dominion Road. Not far past the bridge, a couple of miles, but once you make that exit turn and you get into the parking lot, you go into the store, it's amazing how much fishing tackle's there, primarily for the bay, but there's a lot of, you know, freshwater stuff and panfish and stuff there if you want to go catch a white perch or, you know, catch a catfish or even catch a black bass on the Eastern Shore. They can help you out with that. Of course, you know, striper season is in full swing, and they can help you out with the chumming and the trolling and everything else. So check that out for the fishing. Crabbing, everything you could need, want, or imagine, bait and so forth, for crabbing and the pots and the traps and all that. But the hunting season, that's the key on the Eastern Shore right now. They've got all the archery tackle. They've got the great Matthew Solo Cam bows. They've got five or six different types of crossbows, including, you know, 10-point and Excalibur and some of the others. They even have the new Raven crossbow you've been hearing all about. And they again, can custom cut your arrows and tune your bow and add accessories. A number of their accessories are still on sale. Dove season is in full swing on the shore. They've got great bargain prices on cases of ammo. Check it out. Muzzleloader season right around the corner, too. That is Chesapeake Outdoors, right there, exit 39B, Dominion Road on Kent Island, 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carry nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex. Linex. Linex is partnered with St. Jude. So your local Linex dealer, Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, are donating a portion of every truck bed that they install. To St. Jude this month. And if you go to the Linex website, you can go to the Donate to St. Jude page and actually click on there if you want to make a donation on your own to St. Jude. Great program that helps is battling childhood cancer, and that's what the program's all about. So check that out at your local Linex dealer.
Talk Radio 680. WCPM.
Put another log on the fire. Cook me up some bacon and some beans. And go out to the car and change the tire. Wash my socks and sew my old blue jeans. Come on, baby, you can fill my pipe. And then go fetch my slippers. And boil me up another pot of tea. Then put another log on the fire, babe. And come and tell me why you're leaving me.
We want to keep playing that. We want to pay attention to this next verse, you know. We'll just play a little bit of that, and then we'll get the fishing part in there. That's how this song relates to this show. They mentioned fishing.
Now don't I let you wash the car on Sunday?
Of course.
Don't I warn you when you're getting fat? Ain't I gonna take you fishing with me someday? Well, a man can't love a woman more than that.
Ain't I always nice to your kid sister? Don't I take her driving every night?
Uh-oh.
So sit here at my feet, 'cause I like you when you're sweet. And you know
that it ain't feminine to fight. All right, we're done with that. Let's talk to Dr. Joe Love. Hey, Doctor. Hope you enjoyed that little ditty.
I did. I loved it. It's great.
All right. Potomac covered and recovering, correct?
What's that, sir?
I said the Potomac we've covered and it's recovering.
Yes, sir.
Next,
yes,
sir. Eastern Shore.
Well, the Eastern Shore is good. We've got some areas that are really good, like in the Upper Bay. I think that's one of the the northeast area, the Sass, those are some areas
yep.
that our anglers are really targeting.
Yep.
In fact, next year, BASS is coming to Harford County to fish their elite series. And so that's good news, I think, for the county. It's good news for the area because it kind of showcases some mm-hmm. of the fisheries. And those guys who fish the Upper Bay tournaments, I mean, they could easily fish the Sass or come down the Still Pond.
Sure.
And Shorehawk.
So, hey, when the Classic was here in Baltimore in 1991,
mm-hmm.
fished with Bernie Schultz, we went and fished Sassafras, went across and fished the river proper of the Susquehanna, and weigh in was like 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and we had 40 minutes to get to the weigh in, and we were a mile up in the Susquehanna, and we made it back.
Wow! you put some turbo cards.
Oh my God! I'll tell you, I will never forget the sound of 150 horsepower. Motor coming out of the water twice after jumping a freighter wake.
Oh, my God.
We were going so fast that they turned the light on outside of Aberdeen and announced, said something to us over the loudspeaker that we couldn't hear. Some kind of warning. And Schultz looks at me. Schultz looks at me and he goes, "What did he say?" And I said, "He wanted to know if your life insurance is paid up." I mean, it was incredible. And we got into the mouth of the river. And he stopped at a duck blind and caught his only bass of the day 10 minutes from weigh-in, and whoosh, in we went.
Wow.
Oh, my
God.
That's
a fantastic story.
What a trip. I mean, I lost my Ranger jacket. I lost my hat. I mean,
you may have lost a couple of years of your life.
Not much to hold on to in a Ranger going 60 miles an hour across Chesapeake Bay in a, you know, foot and a half, 2 foot chop. So, no. It was fun, though. I'll tell you what.
Well, I'll tell you, some of these guys that can really book, they're in it to win it, and we have seen, you know, last year, you guys went down to Middle River, and Aaron Martin's right.
Aaron Martin's.
River.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they'll book. They'll travel some distance.
No question.
And do what they need to do to catch those fish.
Oh yeah.
I think the good thing about the Upper Bay is that there are a lot of opportunities to visit other rivers. You know, when you're in the Potomac, you're on the Potomac. It's a wonderful, wonderful system.
Right.
But when you're launching out of the Upper Bay, you can hit the western side of the bay, the eastern side of the bay. So there's a lot of great opportunities there.
Exactly. Hey, by the way, we missed Smoot's Bay. You got a reef project going on down there, right?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we have... So on the Potomac, right in front of the National Harbor,
mm-hmm.
We this year mostly finished a reef project there, and it looks like it's pretty successful. We stocked about 1,000 or so young bass on the reef so far, and what that reef is really is a group of reef balls, like what they
sure.
would use to grow oyster in the Chesapeake Bay. But we're not using it for oyster. We're just using it for little spaces for the fish and the bugs to live in. And we put some wood out there, sunk the wood as well. So Maryland Bass Nation, tournament conglomerate for the state, they assisted with this, as well as the Chesapeake Bay Foundation and National Harbor.
Right.
Maryland Bass Nation are going to come back, I think, and sink some more wood out there. And the wood's great because it's natural habitat
mm-hmm.
for fish, and that's a nice complement to the stony concrete structure
sure.
that we put out last year. And
mm-hmm.
we're already seeing some grass-grown areas where it hadn't grown before, so that's good news.
Good.
And we electrofished the area and saw some bass and saw some different age classes of bass
nice.
In that area. We've even seen some anglers fishing it. Guide fishing it. So,
cool. That's even better. Yeah. Got it.
So it's good. I think if it becomes, you know, it's really too early to see if it's, you know, really productive. But if it does become like a real productive way of improving a habitat for bass, you know, it's just something that we may be able to do in other areas of Chesapeake Bay. This is really the first time we've ever done anything like this in the Tidal River. For largemouth. So we're going to learn a lot, I think, and hopefully be able to apply this step down the road, maybe even to some Eastern Shore rivers if we can identify some good spots. But right now, you know, on the Eastern Shore, we've got we're going to be stocking Chop Tank River this year.
Good.
We've got toward the end of October, we're going to buy some bass and then release them in various areas in the upper Chop Tank. I think that system's been a tough one. I honestly don't hear too many people fishing it.
The Chop Tank? Right.
What's that? Yeah, the Chop Tank. It's a shame, really. You know, a lot of what we learn as an agency comes from anglers, and or for my group, and
yeah.
I don't hear too much.
Well, I know. I mean, I know. Again, way back in the '90s, early '91, the Chop Tank was a favored location of some of those anglers. They'd shoot all the way across from Gunpowder Park all the way over to the Chop Tank and do some fishing for bass. And you know, some of them were pretty successful, not as successful as the guys that went up on the flats. But you know, that was a destination back then. So, but
yeah.
You know, we've had a lot of water. I can never remember which term is right. Do we have water under the bridge or over the dam? I don't know which analogy to use since then.
Under the bridge?
Yeah.
Is it under the bridge? Not over the. What goes over the dam? Isn't that water too?
Yeah, it might be water too. Water's everywhere. Man.
I guess. Well, since 1991, there's been a lot of water flowing downstream. So, but you know, you're trying to recover the Chop Tank. Your notes here say you're putting what 1,000 6-inch fish in. So you want to make sure they winter well.
Yes, sir.
With the larger fish,
The bigger they are, the better they are for surviving that area. You know, the Chop Tank's a beautiful system. We have some beautiful rivers like the Pocomoke, the Wakanda.
Oh, yes.
It's nice. You know, they're changing. I know that anglers can go to the Upper Bay, go to the Northeast and South Sprat,
sure.
Go fishing, but I would really like it if even a small number of anglers had the opportunity to fish places like Chop Tank and get out there and fish some bass. And maybe they already are and they're just not talking about it.
Right.
I hope that they're catching fish if they are doing that. You know, but we are going to be stocking some out there this year, and we will, you know, be surveying the area as well with our electrofishing boat to see if, you know, we've been stocking that system for a few years now, and we'd like to see, you know, the abundance go up a bit. But we'll learn more after October whether, you know, we're actually making an impact in that area. But the systems have changed. Snakeheads have spread around a lot. I'm not blaming snakehead for the woes of humanity, but
there's plenty of them out there, though,
in some areas,
mm-hmm.
and particularly on the Eastern Shore. So you know, we're trying to manage that as best as we can, too.
Got it. Very good. All right. Go ahead.
I was going to say, but I did want to mention, if anyone out there, any of your listeners, have ideas of good places to release fish, bass on the Chop Tank River, always open to suggestions. So they're more than welcome to contact me. And we have worked with anglers in the past to release fish. So if anyone's got some ideas, maybe they could come out and assist us, or maybe just give us a call and let us know.
Got it. Very good. All right. So Chop Tank, Potomac. Gunpowder River fish kill. I know we want to hear about that one.
All right. Well, it's a weird, situation actually out there. We had for a few years we were stocking Middle River, and so we're paying a lot of attention to that area.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have a lot of people who fish, and like you said about the Chop Tank, we have a lot of people who fish the Gunpowder, and they historically fished it. And been changing a lot. So, unfortunately, a couple years ago, we ended up with a fish kill in November in Middle River.
Right.
And then last year, we ended up in December with a fish kill on Gunpowder. Now, the fish kill in Middle River, I believe, was in November. So we're talking about winter kills, which is a little weird. And when the fish kill on Gunpowder happened, you know, a year after Middle River, I think it really rose people's eyebrows even more. Like, what in the world's going on out here? What, back-to-back fish stills in the same area? It's weird.
Right.
But particularly in freshwater, in this tidal freshwater
system. Yes.
So we had some people, Scott Toole.
I know Scott, sure.
He went out there, mobilized some of his people. They took some pictures, got some videos, called some people, called Maryland Department of Environment, and called me, called some others. And it turns out we had a meeting with a fella named Dr. Alan Place from University of Maryland Center of Environmental Sciences. And it turns out that the bug that was killing these animals was Carlodinium. It's a little planktonic organism. And it just bloomed in the area for some reason, and it released toxins. Those toxins that it released, sometimes it uses when it's feeding, so it immobilizes prey. But this time, it may have just released them because of stress. The little plankton was stressed. And what happened is those toxins caused the fish to stop breathing. It affected their gills and corrupted them.
Mm-hmm.
The fish suffocated, basically, underwater.
Okay.
And we lost a lot of sunfish. We lost some catfish and carp. And not a lot of bass. From my understanding, not a lot of people were saying that they saw bass, but there were a few bass. Scott, I think, said he saw some.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really disheartening. You don't want to see that, because not only are we losing the predators, like the bass, we're losing the forage, and you know, we're trying to protect the system, the integrity of it, so people can go fishing there.
Sure.
And not worry about, you know,
fish kills and that, and poison little microscopic bugs. I get it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So
well,
actually, it's not a good story.
No,
to tell. It's actually, you know, we're really concerned about it.
You're going to have to email me the name of that bug and a little bit on those findings, so I can keep that on file in case anybody can ask that question.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Now you're putting all these fish in the chop tank with unknown results, but we know that the gunpowder is, you know, it harbors largemouth bass. Any upcoming plans to restock gunpowder with bass or forage species or anything like that?
Yeah, so after the Middle River kill, we put some bass there. I know that there was some criticism about that, because some people would say, well, the river has got this, you know, Carlodinium in it. Why would you, you know, just put more bass out there to die? But the reality is, the Carlodinium is a lot of places in the Chesapeake Bay.
Right.
And in fact, some people, if I recall correctly, said that this is the actual organism that led to all the fisteria kills, or at least
some
of the.
I was just going to bring up that P word, fisteria.
Right.
That pretty much been debunked as almost a hoax anymore, hasn't it been?
Well, you know, I don't know about that. Because I'm just not of that world. I don't know much about the pathology of organisms out
right.
there. But what I do know is
the fisteria hysteria was ginned up by one particular scientist, not from this state, and you know, picked up by the news media and caused shudders to run throughout the fisheries and.
That was my understanding.
And the world.
I
mean, you know.
Worked with some fish health guys.
Yeah.
They were.
Yeah. I mean.
They kind of relayed that same story. But.
Yeah. Short of a nuclear strike from a foreign entity, fisteria is probably the worst thing that could have ever happened in Maryland.
Well, this.
I'm just kidding.
I don't know about that. This Carlodinium acts a lot like fisteria. In fact, the university professor was saying that this was actually the one that was causing all problems.
Sure.
But the weird thing is that this animal, Carlodinium, you know, back in the day when the fisteria kills, right, they were hitting fish in saltwater areas,
right.
Blackish areas, like Menhaden. But this is the first time it hit tidal freshwater. It hit Gunpowder River, which is freshwater area.
Right.
You know, it's a challenge to deal with it in a new sector with a new group of anglers, and you know, getting people aware of, you know, what they can do when they see these dead fish on the water.
Right.
What can they, you know, and they ask, well, what can we do to prevent these kinds of things? So getting that kind of information out to these folks, you know, I think it's going to be a new challenge for us.
Right. Well, the answer is, you know, pray that God strikes all the Carlaudinium dead.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, what else you tell them?
Yeah, there's nothing else you can tell them. You know,
I'm great for these answers, aren't I? You know,
yeah.
Hey, learn how to fish a scum frog. You know, yeah. ask God to kill all the Carlaudinium. You know, hey, look, easy solutions for me, huh?
You could write a book on these, or a little.
I don't know about that.
No, I know. And the problem is, you know, Carlaudinium apparently occurs in a lot of different areas, but for whatever reason, it affected the fish up at Gunpowder. And we're not giving up hope. I know we had gotten some criticism about putting bass out there a couple years ago, but we're going to do it again. In fact, we already put out about 1,000 bass into Gunpowder. We're going to put out more in about 2 or 3 weeks.
Good.
So, you know, I personally recognize the value of that area as a bass fishery to a lot of different people. And, you know, we can't just give up hope on it just because we have a couple of fish kills. So I think, you know, moving forward, we're hoping that the fish kills will stop.
Sure.
You know, if they don't stop, maybe we can figure out some ways of preventing them down the road. And I think that's kind of where we are mentally right now, is figuring out ways that we can help prevent them.
Got it. Which strain of Carlaudinium did you say was the problem here?
Well, as far as I know, it's Carlaudinium vinificum.
Vinificum. That's the one I'm looking at. So, all right.
Yep.
Cool. Yeah.
And it's a worldwide animal, from my understanding. But for whatever reason, this little booger caused a problem in freshwater areas, and
yeah.
I guess it's not a good thing.
You can go to the website. You can go to your DNR website, and you can put the search word in Carlaudinium, Carlaudinium, and
right.
You know, and it's under the algae bloom page,
right?
So
And if people can learn more about it, that would be great.
Sure.
They can learn about the signs of what happens to these fish when they get affected. That would be great. I mean, it's a kill that could last a couple of weeks.
Right.
And, you know, if people start seeing these things happen, then they can call Maryland Department of Environment and they can get out there. They may not be able to stop it, but
right.
They can tell us more about it and what to expect.
Very good. Hey, Joe, we're going to take a little break here. We'll come back and we'll finish up talking about the Upper Chesapeake, the flats and so forth, and finish up that and say goodbye. How's that?
Sounds good.
All right. Hey, folks, listen, you got to go to Chesapeake Outdoors. Got a lot of stuff still on sale, a lot of archery accessories and things like that. You can get some great prices on hunting accessories, some fishing stuff too, but primarily the hunting stuff. If you're a dove hunter and you want to get a good deal on a case of dove ammo, you know, divide it up among the guys, you can do that too. They've got great case prices on dove ammo. Don't forget, there are a lot of crossbows. I mean, 5 or 6 different brands of crossbows, including the new crossbow. What's it called? I don't know. I just forgot it. It doesn't matter. It's a giant crossbow. It's a wonderful crossbow. It's a beautiful crossbow. Go see one there at Chesapeake Outdoors. I forgot the name of the crossbow. Huh? No. They've got, I'll try to remember. I'm trying to look at their ad in my head rather than in front of me. I didn't bring the book in.
You did not bring his book in.
No, you were rushing me this morning. And
I've been so quiet and good.
Raven crossbow. R-A-V-I-N. That's what they have, along with all the others, 10-point and the rest of them. And, of course, the great Matthews solo cambos as well. But they can handle anything you need for archery, fishing, crabbing, hunting, and so forth. So, you know, it's Chesapeake Outdoors, Chesapeake Outdoors. 39B is the exit, Dominion Road, right off of Route 50 on Kent Island. That phone number, 410-604-2500, 604-2500. They can help you with anything.
WCBM, Baltimore.
High pressure builds in across the region for us here as we head through our weekend. Couple of nice days if you have some outdoor plans. Mix of clouds and sun today. A light north breeze, unseasonably cool as we top out in the low 70s, about 10 degrees below average. Clear skies, cool tonight near 50. Sunny in low 70s for Sunday. Milder as we head into the start of our business week. Mix of clouds and sun Monday. High temperatures Monday, mid-70s. Cloudy and cooler with a chance of showers on Tuesday, upper 60s. I'm Ken Boone at the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex. Hey, we'll tell you one more time about Clyde's Sport Shop. Just go there. I mean, if you're looking for something for hunting or something for fishing, just go to Clyde's Sport Shop. Browning Firearms. Handguns. Modern sporting firearms, shotguns, muzzle loaders, crossbows, compound bows, buck knives, giant selection of buck knives. The biggest thing is their expert advice and their service for rods and reels and also for firearms. They've got a full-time gunsmith. You know, they can do any kind of repairs or any kind of help with any firearms issues. They can take care of putting a new scope on if you want, bore sighting it for you. And, you know, the firearm sales are great. Full-line Browning dealer as well. Been in business 60 years. Read about Maryland Hunting Court. Read about the early days, first 30 years or so. Go online, Maryland Hunting Quarterly. Read all about Clyde's Sports Shop celebrating 60 years. They're located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just up Beltway Exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. I don't think I mentioned the fishing hotline. 24-hour fishing hotline. Where to go, what to use, what they're biting on. 247-3474-247-FISH. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built their reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W. Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I'm driving their tractor. Yeah, I work these fields, sun up, sun down every day. I got a camo hat that says, get her done, and I believe in the American way. And I believe in God, and I believe I'll have a beer at the end of the day. 'Cause I'm bona fide, certified, basic, Eastern Shore, redneck, USA.
And Robin's holding her lighter up for Bird Dog Wheeler and the Road Kings.
I love Bird Dog.
He's your hometown guy, right?
Yeah.
I know.
I've been over there 40 years.
I know. Well, that's all right. Hey, let's talk to Joe Love. He's kind of, you know, called in and is helping us out here this morning. Yep. Is that okay with you?
Yes, go right ahead.
All right. Hey, Joe.
Hey.
Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, sir. Great show.
Yeah, well, thanks. We're trying. Give us a website where we can find more information on black bass in Maryland, if you would.
Oh, sure. If they just go to DNR.
How about this? DNR.maryland.gov.
There you go. DNR.maryland.gov is even better.
Right.
And they can search out tidal bass.
Right.
We have our own webpage.
Yep.
And I hope that people use it. We also have a public fishing access page that people can find new fishing spots, spots used by bass guides and some cases,
wow.
And spots that anglers like to go fishing for bass.
There you go. Well, you guys got it all on the website, that's for sure. That's great. So,
yeah.
Wonderful.
And if they got any problems trying to navigate it, they got my email address. They can contact me by phone anytime.
Right there on the website. Very good. Yeah. All right, man. Hey, look, it's been fun. I hope you had a good time. I mean, you know, a lot of water's gone over the dam and or under the bridge.
Yeah, we're just trying to keep above the water line so we don't suffocate.
That's right, buddy. All right. Hey, look, if anybody wants to look up that Boris Karloff bacteria or whatever that thing is, they can go to just Google Carlodinium, Carlodinium, and it'll pop right up. That's a nasty little bug around the world, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
All right, man.
It causes some havoc.
Havoc. Good word.
Havoc.
All right. Well, we're going to go cause some havoc at my house in Baltimore County here and get it ready to sell. So we'll talk.
Well, good luck with that one.
Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Joe.
All right. You guys have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There goes Dr. Love. And...